The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open again to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and we're looking at the transformation, the intervention of the Lord in the lives of those who were once abominable, and now they have been made acceptable before the Lord our God. Mark your place in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and we'll begin reading there after a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to preach. I pray you would bless our listening audience, bless the stations that air our broadcast, those that tune in to our sermon audio page. Lord, thank you for each and every one of them. I pray you would bless their lives even during this message. Strengthen their hearts. Lord, encourage them. Draw the unconverted to you, I pray. And in Jesus' name, amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so we left off mentioning the gracious intervention of our Savior. Three times we read the word but, and each indicates the intervention of our God. He intervened in the lives of unrighteous sinners, and he transforms them into the redeemed saints and children of God. Those who once were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners are now washed, sanctified, and justified believers. God intervenes through conversion. Such were some of you. God changes us. He takes care of the garments of sin that we are wearing. He removes them, and he clothes us in a garment of righteousness, which he furnishes through justification. But then God intervenes through salvation. But ye are washed. Here, this means that the sinner has been fully washed. This is where God cleanses us. Our sins are remitted, washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Consider Paul's words to Titus in chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now God has changed us. He's removed the garments, but it goes much deeper. God cleanses us. He takes care of the grime of sin. We are scrubbed clean. We are made brand new. We are washed in that regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, washed pure and clean, given a new nature, and then we are sanctified. This means that the sinner has been set apart for God, by God, and made holy in the sight of the Lord. We now belong to Him. We are marked off as His personal, purchased, precious, peculiar property, yea, peculiar people. He's cleaned us up. He has changed us, but now God claims us. There is that initial work of sanctification. Our position, it's settled. We are in Christ, and thus we are holy. But there is that progressive work. Our practice comes into view, and the believer's life is made holy day by day, desire by desire, deed by deed. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, Romans 8, verses 1 through 4. But in God's claiming of us, He takes care not of the garments of sin, not of the grime of sin, but of the grip of sin. Sin does not have to rule and reign in the life of the Christian. We have been set free from the bondage of sin, and by that process of sanctification, we can say that we are dead indeed unto sin, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we need not let sin have dominion in our lives, for we're not under the law, we're under the grace of our God, and we can bring forth fruit even unto righteousness and unto holiness because of that sanctifying work of the Spirit of God and that sanctified position in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then God intervenes through justification. The verse 11 closes out, "But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so our Lord has converted us. He has washed us. The work of salvation, of regeneration. He has sanctified us, but we are justified. We have been declared righteous in God's sight. It is a legal matter. It is finished in the eyes of God. The old account of our sins has been completely expunged. It has been blotted out and then exchanged for a new account of righteousness through that process of imputation and justification. The Lord Jesus Christ, He took our sins and He gave us His perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He," speaking of God, "hath made Him," speaking of Jesus, "to be sin for us, Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And here we see that God clears us. He takes the guilty, declares them innocent. He takes the unjust, declares them just. He takes the unrighteous and declares them righteous. the garments of sin, took care of by the Lord Jesus, the grime of sin. Again, our Savior intervened. The grip of sin. Again, Jesus is the answer. But the very guilt of sin that once hung over the sinner's head is now gone. We have been cleared in the matter. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who stood and took the place of the sinner. He was the just one for unjust ones, and he takes the guilty sinner, clears him, redeems him, justifies him in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God, we thus find ourselves righteous and cleared in the matter of our sins before the Lord. The authority of our salvation, even the name of the Lord Jesus. The agent of our salvation, even the Spirit of our God. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the very name of Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Ghost, He is God's agent for salvation and regeneration through that work of conviction. He is at work in the heart, mind, soul of the sinner, and He converts us, He influences us, He draws upon our will, He moves us toward the truth, toward Christ, and if we will respond in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, then we will be washed, sanctified, and justified by the Spirit of our God. That concludes this first part concerning the warning against deception. Now, verses 12 through 20, we see a warning against desecration within the church. Now, Paul is continuing his reproof because there was a lack of devotion in and among the saints. Now, the word desecration means, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, it is the act of diverting from a sacred purpose or use to which a thing had been devoted. It is to take something that is designed to be of a sacred character or office and use it in something different and that which is not sacred, not holy, and not righteous. The overall theme of this passage is the responsibility of the believer concerning the purity of his body. The word body is found seven times, bodies is found once, and then the word fornication is found four times. Paul is returning to this subject due to the nature of the sin in the church. But we'll have to deal with this next time, the Lord willing. So until then, beloved, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you in these last days. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.